Welcome to our 13th episode of the Broken Pictures podcast / YouTube show, where we discuss the top five things that you may have missed this week from pop culture. There could potentially be spoilers for your favorite TV shows, movies, comics, and or video games. You have been warned. This is
the FOMO show.
Hey guys, this is Dylan.
And I'm Lydia.
We'd like to say thanks for joining us by YouTube or podcast. Hello to all our new watchers or listeners in the States and internationally. A special thank you to those who are returning. And if you want to keep the conversation going or support the show, you can, of course, comment below. But you can also find all that info in the episode notes or in the website or at the website at www.broken.pictures.com. And also a new feature for our new podcast provider, Anchor. You can leave us voice messages that we can play on the show. So send us questions and comments and all kinds of fun stuff. And we'll play them maybe the next week. So you can do that by going to www.anchor.fm/TheFOMO Show or download the Anchor app on your phone to leave us a message. And YouTube viewers, if you would, please subscribe, and you can hit that bell icon
ding
to get notifications when we put out a new video. And if you're a podcast listener, please go ahead and leave us 5 stars and a review on your podcast app. Thank you. So this is our March giveaway. It is a 4K copy on Blu-ray and digital code of Avengers Infinity War, so you can get caught up and be ready for Endgame next month. So all you got to do to win or be in the running to win is like a FOMO show video from March, of course, comment on a FOMO show video from March, of course, and subscribe to our channel. And all this has to be done on YouTube. So if you're listening by podcast, look us up on YouTube. You can just search Broken Pictures and you'll see this little, well, you're listening, so you can't see the icon, but it's a little broken shutter icon. And of course you'll see our smiling faces on there. But anyways, at the end of the month, we'll announce the winner and you could be, it could be you. Dick Dale died at the age of 81 this week. Is known as the King of Surf Rock. And his song was also featured in the opening of Pulp Fiction, if you remember that.
I haven't seen that, so I don't remember it.
I think that's the riff I'm thinking of. But anyways, I mean, like Beach Boys and stuff like that. He was the King of Surf Rock. Anything you're saying about it? I know you...
Well, just, I don't know how to pronounce the name of the song that we're talking about, this specific one, but it's like Missaloo or something similar to that. So that's the one that we're talking about.
Yeah. I'd probably know the song if I heard it, but offhand, he was like a behind the scenes type guy. So I'd to be honest, I probably know his work, but I don't know.
He was like a part of a bunch of different groups. Yeah. So it's highly likely that you heard one of his songs for sure.
Yep. So
our thoughts and prayers are with his family during this time.
Yeah, rest in peace, Dick Dale. And of course, the world of surf rock is less for your loss. And of course, we have to issue a spoiler warning for everything moving forward. We will get spoilery. And we're not going to spoil your favorite stuff, your favorite fandom on purpose, but we will talk about newsworthy items. So be warned. What are you guys watching? What are you guys into this week? And whether you're watching something, you're playing something, you're reading something, what are you into this week? And of course, if you notice, Quinn isn't here, so he's not going to be able to tell you. So hit him up on social media and see what he's into this week. And so he's got a little personal issue going on. He's got a little doctor's visit. Nothing serious, it seems like, but just, you know, if you want to shoot out some thoughts and prayers or hit him up on social media and let him know you're thinking about him, I'm sure he'd appreciate that. So what did you watch this week?
I didn't really watch much. I listened to a lot of Parks and Rec episodes on the long drives that I had to take. So I went south this weekend. And so to keep myself occupied for that 6-hour drive, I turned on some Parks and Rec and just listened to that.
Because you've seen it so many times, you can just picture what's happening.
Yeah. So I just listened to it mostly. Always quality. So I finished that series again and I just started it back over.
Nice.
Just on a loop because the ending is so sad. Yeah. You just want to start it back up again. You can't. It's
to just get that feeling back.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's like really the only thing I did. It's been a busy couple of weeks as we're getting into crunch time for the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Officially 40 days away.
Yep. So, I mean, that just goes without saying. If the show gets behind or whatever, then just chalk it up to we're busy because we're getting married next month. So, yep.
Yeah. We watched Christopher Robin for Pizza Movie Night.
Yep. Yeah, if you don't know it, we do a pizza movie night every week with our kids.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember anything else that we watched, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You watched a lot.
Yeah, I watched a lot. We watched Wreck-It Ralph, Ralph Wrecks the Internet.
Yes, we sure did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, if you watched last week's episode, you know that Quinn loaned it to us. He had it on Redbox. And I gotta say, miss it. I wasn't really happy with it. Like, I really loved the first one. And I felt like they broke all the rules of the first one to make the second one. And I hate it when they do that.
It didn't really bother me. I thought it was fine.
Yeah. That's just my personal take. Christopher Robin, I thought was pretty good. Yeah. What'd you think?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was decent. It didn't really, like... I don't know. It didn't just like wow me or anything, mm-hmm. but I thought it was good.
Yeah. It was hard. It was one of those touchy-feely movies, I guess.
Yeah. I mean.
Good family. Quality family movie.
Like your general kid grown up movie. You know, like a kid that's, you know, grown up and is touching back with his childhood.
I didn't really expect much. I heard it was good. Kevin Smith said it was like the second favorite movie of the year. Behind Infinity War, of course, that he saw like some 70 odd times. We're probably in the
hundreds by
now. I think
he's a little dramatic.
Yeah, a little bit. I was about to say he did cry after the Captain Marvel nod to Mallrats. So he technically is in the MCU somewhere. But I mean, that's fair though. I mean, you know, the Stan Lee cameo after his death is a tribute. To Mallrats.
I get that. I don't understand what that has to do with Christopher Robin.
I was getting on the tangent of Kevin Smith being traumatic, but that's not really dramatic. So anyways, I digress, which I do a lot. So I liked Christopher Robin. It was all right. I didn't expect much. I didn't expect to like Pooh Bear and the stuffed animals, the way they looked and everything, but it worked for me.
Yeah.
See, I watched some stuff with the kids. I watched Fantastic Four, the first one, not the new one. Yeah, it was all crap. And I had to show them. They were like, "This guy's Captain America." You know?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, so it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. And of course, you know, amping up for the Disney Fox deal that's coming in and everything.
Yeah.
And so then we watched Disney Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming. It's on my brain. And so then I sent Riley to bed, and I watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World with my teenagers, and so that was a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite movies. It's like really, really good movie. If you haven't seen that, plus right now, like 3 of the 7 exes are superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got Brie Larson.
Yeah, Brie Larson, Brandon Routh, and
Chris Evans,
of course. Yeah. So that's pretty funny watching.
So Scott Pilgrim is technically a superhero or villain, depends how you look at it.
Yeah, comic book movie for sure.
Well, I'm saying like in that world.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's still such a good movie. It holds up. So of course we watched The Walking Dead this week, and of course, and if you're into The Walking Dead, check out our Walking Dead podcast. It's called The Broken Dead. You can look that up on Anchor anchor.fm or wherever you find your podcasts. You can find that on Apple as well, or iTunes or whatever, whatever you call it. And another one that I got into was the new one on Netflix, Love, Death, and Robots. And I got about 7 or 8 episodes in. And they're not really episodes. It's kind of like an anthology. It's like just little shorts. And they're all unconnected, not connected at all. And it's Tim Miller and David Fincher. So they're all, of course, out there. Tim Miller did Deadpool. And David Fincher did Fight Club, so you can imagine what... Sorry, I'm talking about it.
So but I was literally waiting the whole time for that.
Yeah, so David Fincher, you got Fight Club, 7, Gone Girl. I mean, I'm pretty sure those are his. Yeah, I might be mistaken. Then I'm going to look like an idiot.
But anyways, fact check.
Yeah, you can fact check that. So you can imagine where Love, Death, and Robots is going. It's kind of out there. And it is 110% adult, not for kids. Lots of graphic violence.
7, nudity. Gone Girl, yeah. Zodiac.
Yeah, Fincher.
Which other one did you say?
Fight Club.
Yeah, that's definitely one. But it's not on the list, which is funny.
I said Gone Girl. Oh, it's not on that list.
Yeah, it's behind me. Because you can't talk about it.
It's right there. I checked it. It's on the VHS right behind
it. It was like at the end.
So, yeah, I like Love, Death, and Robots. It was fun. If you're into like super out there, thought-provoking sci-fi and you don't mind graphic language or nudity or violence or everything under the sun, then check it out. Moving on.
He did a Calvin Klein commercial.
He's probably coming up doing Calvin Klein.
That's just so funny.
Does it say
funny.
How long ago it was?
It's recent. It's really? 2013.
Huh.
So, I mean, like, he did a black and white promotional video of the new female fragrance Calvin Klein.
Wow. They probably paid him a pretty penny for that.
Hold on. I think I missed something.
What?
I'm very confused. I know I'm like distracting is super hardcore, but the way that it phrased it made it sound like it was a movie because it says the director of the movie. So like, is she the girl that was in it? Was she in a movie?
Rooney Mara is an actress.
So yeah. I guess they're just saying that he was the director of the movie that she was in. So that's why he directed the commercial.
I don't know. Rooney Mara was in the Daniel Craig Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah. So, and that he directed that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Confusing.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, IMDb.
I guess that would just make, he just probably just carried it over and shot that real quick.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably sound like that.
Yeah. And she's really good. The number one movie of the week is, once again, Captain Marvel. For the second week in a row, really just blowing it out the box office.
Nah.
So, yeah, I mean, for all you Captain Marvel haters out there, sorry about you. There's a new sheriff in town. I said that last week, but yeah, if you we did a Captain Marvel review last week. It was number 5. We did it at the end. So you can go back and skip towards that or watch the whole thing if you want to. And it's still good. Still good. Yeah.
It's like, this is my family. Broken, but good. Still good.
All right. And also, we've got the new releases in theaters and disc and digital for you right now. Our top 5 pop culture / entertainment for the week, starting off with James Gunn returning to direct Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 after a year hiatus, I guess. Because so they fired him. I'm doing air quotes because during this time, Disney apparently didn't even look at other directors, even though supposedly they spoke to Taika Waititi and Adam McKay during this time. But they're saying that they really didn't have, never had anybody else in mind. They never intended to fill the slot. So it was kind of like just like a let it die down and bring it back type thing. The head of Disney said that the reason is because he met with James Gunn several times after he had fired him, and he got fired for decade old tweets that came up in a conservative talk show host and had people get all inflamed about it and made a big deal about it. He made off-color jokes about things that aren't funny. And but he owned up to it and said, "Hey, I get it. You know, I did these things, and even though I'm not that person anymore, and I don't support what I said, I don't believe in what I said, and I was just trying to be a provocateur, and I was young and dumb." And he had talked about it openly several times and had left it out there in the open, wasn't trying to hide anything about it, but it, you know, somebody made a big deal and it you know, got back in the limelight, became a deal. So they had to do something about it to kind of appease the masses type thing, or the silent majority or whatever you want to call it. So came back around, and now they've hired him again, rehired him to do Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. His own script, though, he had written the script already, and the cast had basically, or not basically, they signed a petition saying that they wanted him to come back and direct Guardians 3. So he had everybody on his side. He's a very likable guy, according to himself. there's an interview where he says that. But yeah, I love James Gunn. He's of course, a genius guy. St. Louis, hometown boy. Woo! and that leads us into number two, which is the DCEU basically rebooting, because during this time where James Gunn was not hired by Disney, air quotes, he got a job with DC, which is the rival comic book movie company, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin Feige holds no ill will towards them. They've hired back and forth before, so apparently it's not a big deal. So they hired him to write and direct the next Suicide Squad movie.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turns out, they're actually rebooting Suicide Squad completely, according to the producers this past week. There was news that came out that Will Smith, due to a scheduling conflict, was bowing out as Deadshot, and then they replaced him with Idris Elba, so that was kind of a weird thing, and then it was going to be a soft reboot, but they're keeping Margot Robbie as... Margot Robbie. My bad.
Eli Marlowe.
Yeah.
Margot.
Yeah. So they're keeping her as Harley Quinn, and so you know, now they're saying it's not just going to be a soft reboot, because it was supposed to be a sequel, then it was a soft reboot. Now it's a complete reboot, total reboot. And that's not the only corner of the DCEU that's getting rebooted. Ray Fisher was supposed to come back for a Cyborg solo film, but apparently that got chopped. And he I don't know which came first. I don't know if they canceled the movie first, and so he's not coming back, or if he decided not to come back, so they canceled the movie. But either way, the Cyborg movie, Ray Fisher as Cyborg, is a done deal. It's done, not happening. And also Ezra Miller, who played the Flash in the Justice League movie, he has an issue with the revised script for the Flash. It's a lot more lighthearted than he originally signed on for. And so he's not really happy with it, and things are up in the air with that. I mean, at first, the Flash movie was a no-go, then it was back on. now it's up in the air again because of the script. And reportedly, Ezra Miller is working with another writer to write another darker revision of the Flash script. And if it isn't accepted, then he could potentially walk. And so that would have to be rebooted, and that character would be out as well.
Like, I feel conflicted when I hear that, when like an actor is pulling his weight, you know, sorry, I bumped that, to get what his vision for the character is. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel conflicted because like, well, they play this character, they know this character, but then it's also like, it's not really up to you. Like, that's kind of a punk move, you know? Yeah. Like, it's like if you sign on with a company and you work for them and like, then you stop caring and you're like, well, if you don't give me this day off, I'm just going to quit. You know, yeah. Like, it's that kind of thing. Like, you're trying to negotiate with them, and we don't negotiate with terrorists. Like, that's not how it works. Like, you're trying to hold it hostage. You know, I feel conflicted about that kind of stuff.
Cause I mean, filming really is a collaborative process. And if it's one person pushing their weight around or holding the rest of everybody hostage, it really is, like you said, it's a really conflicting thing, especially when you've got something that's already a thing and you've got an actor that's already invested in the character.
Yeah.
You know?
And people who are invested in that person playing that character, it's really mm-hmm. difficult to get on board with recasting.
Yeah. And I mean... And a lot of time the actors get credit because it's their face on the character mm-hmm, and it's mm-hmm. their representation of the character, but they still reserve the right to walk at any time. They don't have to participate if they don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, you would hate for them to do it anyway and do really poorly.
Yeah, exactly. And they would too, you know. And no, I mean, and nobody wants to make a bad movie. I mean, right. I don't think anybody sets out, maybe Tommy Wiseau sets out to make a bad movie.
I don't know who that is.
Hey, Mark. That guy. Oh, hi, Mark. The Room. Anyways.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't either. But, yeah.
You're anyways, way more invested than like I am.
It's reportedly like the worst movie, the best worst movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm tracking with you.
They remade it as a, like, behind, like, about the movie. Anyways. Rabbit Trail. So, yeah, it's a very conflicting thing. And you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's a collaborative process. People need to work together, blah, blah, blah. To even see a film get made is a miracle unto itself because it takes so many moving parts to working together to make it happen. Mm. So.
But I mean, speaking of conflicting things, there is a lot going on social media and things about mm-hmm. a possible Harry Potter-ish reboot. So it sounds to me more like it's going to be like a Grindelwald reboot because it deals with the prequel setting because it is a young Grindelwald with Dumbledore. Mm. And supposedly they have a...
But it could have lasting effects on the Harry Potter verse.
Right, but it's not.
Because the other ones come later, right?
Right, but it's not going to be Harry Potter, Hermione. Like, it's not focusing around them.
Mm. So it could happen under the radar and still not affect the movies we all know.
Right, and so since the second Grindelwald just did really poorly, was just not doing well.
I mean, I'm all into Harry Potter. We went and watched the first one in theaters mm-hmm. and we own it, but the second one we ain't even seen yet.
Yeah. I mean, like, it just got a lot of flack, a lot of just controversy around the whole movie in general.
A lot of that has to do with Johnny Depp, too, and what he's been.
Which normally I will see anything Johnny Depp is in. Mm-hmm. But him in the first one, I wasn't just like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll see him in the second one.
Yeah. And his deal with his ex-wife here recently and all that kind of stuff.
So J.K. Rowling mentioned how Dumbledore and Grindelwald were in a relationship. It's been known for years that Dumbledore was meant to be homosexual. That's not a surprise. But Grindelwald being homosexual was a fair surprise to most people. Mm. So that's kind of what's going on. And I'm going to pull up her name because I forgot what it was. Rachel Bloom has taken to this and said, hey, I'll do a new Harry Potter film. So she was in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's fairly famous. Robot Chicken and some different controversial things. And so
a provocateur.
Yeah, you know, and she does things that other people might not be interested in doing. And so after J.K. Rowling came out and said that, Rachel Bloom was like, hey, I'll write it. I'll put it out there if that's what the public wants. Mm-hmm. So it's getting a lot of attention right now. And so I think that since I haven't seen the second Grindelwald movie, that I don't know if I'd be interested in it. Yeah. But Dumbledore coming back might be really exciting because we were all sad to see him go.
He's back in the second movie.
Right. But like, we were all sad to see him go. So to continue to see him, I'm sure would.
But it's, yeah. And there's even like the whole, it kind of skews the timeline because everybody's like, okay, how does Jude Law turn into that over this short a time period? You know, in 20, 30 years, he's this or whatever. I don't even know the timeline at this point. But I get it's a family film, and so, you know, a lot of family things are more err on the conservative side. And so this is provocative, and J.K. Rowling seems like she's very active on social media, and she is a confessed conservative, or not necessarily conservative, but confessed Christian. That was our dog Ghost.
That was our ghost.
our set is haunted by our dog. You can see his tail on the screen there. But anyways, so at this point where she just keeps releasing new information, like updating, like, oh yeah, by the way, Hagrid was black, and by the way, Dumbledore's gay, and by the way, this and this and that. It almost seems at this point where she's just, it almost feels like a feeble attempt to stay relevant. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know her personal life.
I don't either. I mean, but
as
with
someone
all
who
this
aspires
going on,
to be a writer, I would love to be an author today. You know, one day, you know, like, it's kind of your dream to be just like constantly a little relevant, you know?
Yeah.
And it causes your fans who are really invested to go back and read it, to go back and delve bigger into it and see what they missed.
If there's something there, but I mean, to revise it on the fly, and some of this seems that way.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It was a shock for me. So I've read the Sookie Stackhouse series. I can't even remember how many times I've read all 14 books at this point. Any appendages she made, like literally anything that she has written revolving around this, I've read. And it threw me for a loop when you said that Tara was black.
Oh,
and
the show.
She is. I've reread it, re-delved into it, and I was like, what the heck? How did I miss this?
Oh.
How did I not get this? And so when things like that happen, us readers, we've created an image in our minds, so it's fun as heck to hear the author say, you didn't even get this. You didn't even know it.
So I'm not a big reader, like fiction reader anyway.
I love to read. Love fiction, love fantasy, folklore, that type of reading. So it's fun for me to hear. I haven't read Harry Potter personally because I was in the era that it was really popular, but I was one of the people who was like, oh, I don't want to do anything that's cool. So I didn't read that. I didn't read like Twilight hipster. Till later on. Yeah, you know, and so I didn't read Harry Potter. And then the movies came out, and it's very difficult for me to separate what I have in my mind from the book. So I don't like to read things after I've seen it or anything, because it kind of ruins what I've got going. So personally, I think it's interesting. It actually makes me want to read it to say, hey, all you readers who read it thousands of years ago, look what you didn't catch, you know, that type of thing.
And I get that. As long as there's something there to reveal and it's not just a, like I said, a revision on the fly, because that would be sad.
Yes, but
and
at the same time.
And I don't know, so I can't speak to that. I'm just saying what it seems like with all this not doing well, it almost seems like, oh, hey, by the way, you know what I mean? It's what it seems like. I'm not saying it is, but at this point, I'm not really interested in
It would be interesting to see what they tried to do with it. It would be interesting to hear and talk about it a little bit. But I mean, it also would be fine if it went away. Like, it's not one of those things that just like we're fighting for and we're advocating for. I do want to say one other thing is like, as a writer, you also want it to appeal to whoever and whatever. You want that character to be whoever and whatever it has to be for that moment.
Yeah, and you want to be progressive and forward-thinking so that, you know, if 20 years, 30 years, 100 years down the road, you're still relevant.
Exactly. If you want Hagrid to be black, he's black. Okay? If you want Dumbledore to be gay, he's gay. Connect whatever and whoever, because these books are meant to propel your vision, your imagination for these characters. Like, nothing that's written is set in stone.
I mean, and there's an argument to be made there. At a certain point, when you release it out into the world, some people argue that it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the fan base, you know?
Right. And I mean, like, it's not the Bible. Like, it is. I mean, it's up for interpretation, you know?
Some people, you know, it is their Bible.
I mean, it's liquid. It's ever moving, you know?
You know?
Yeah. I mean, some people live by that, you know? And then the other half, which is witchcraft, can't read that, you know? But I think it's interesting that, like, it's an interpretation. It can be whatever you want it to be. Or if J.K. Rowling, I mean, I feel like she does need to mention.
Yeah. So, I mean, is this going to be a reboot, or is it a revision along, or is it just like where it's going forward?
You know what I mean? Do you even care?
Yeah, because because Fantastic Beasts aren't books. She's writing the scripts as they go.
So one of the original pieces of work that has inspired it was a book. So she had written a short story around it. And that's where it stems from.
Which is in Harry Potter.
Right, exactly.
Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Right? Exactly. So that's where it stemmed from. But you're right. Like, it is it's a current work in progress, you know? So, I mean, it can change. It can move. Yeah. It can do whatever she wants it to do. Yeah.
Which I think is part of the fans' issue with this is that it's like, oh, J.K. Rowling, you're not a screenwriter, you know, you're an author,
but it balances, you don't get to tell somebody what they can and can't do,
you know?
Yeah,
I mean?
Absolutely.
If she wants to be a screenwriter, let her give it a shot.
The difference is instead of making it flow, it's choppier. Instead of saying, you know, I said, it's different. You just put their name out in front.
It's a different format.
Yeah, but, it's essentially so similar. Yeah, absolutely. And it is flowing. Like, as someone who's tried to write, it's difficult sometimes because you're picturing it in your head. Mm-hmm. You have an imagination. This is flowing in your mind. It's hard to make it go into storytelling rather than screenwriting.
And especially with screenwriting, because there is a rigid format for that.
Absolutely.
And you have to make it fit.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
It's not like writing a novel or a book or whatever where you can just kind of make your own way, you know, and make up things as you go. Even though, you know, I mean, of course, you have to stick to grammar or whatever, but even that sometimes is
grammar loose, rules are made up.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like some of that is loosely interpreted, you know.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Whew, goodness gracious.
All right, so moving away from that and into, of course, Captain Marvel is still on the radar. Brie Larson, who played Captain Marvel, is an Oscar-winning actress. And there, because she's in the limelight, a lot of her work as an actress is coming up just to kind of prove, like, what she puts into her characters.
The background work that she does, all of that. And while we're talking about this, I just want to mention, you have to be so careful about what you read on the internet, what you see on Twitter, things like that. Yeah. I saw a post and went fact checking a little bit because the post said, and I'm going to quote it here. So she said, Brie Larson stayed in her house for a month to prepare for Room. She put on 15 pounds of muscle to prepare for it. She talked about how depressed preparing for the role made her, but she still did it to do justice to the story. She is one of the best actresses of our generation, period. So I had never heard anything about her being depressed going into the role. So I Googled it. And so the quotes that I've seen, so the BBC posted an article right after Room came out, an interview with Brie Larson, and she said that she spent, you know, how it says she spent a month to prepare for Room, so she didn't go outside or anything like that. She kind of cut herself off as best she could, and she meditated twice a day. So the quote, and I can read it here in a second, but it essentially was like, hey, I'm okay in silence. I'm okay being in my head. I meditated 2 times a day for a month to prepare for that. So it doesn't line up to me that she got severely depressed or anything like that. So I will say, just check your sources and things like that, because it didn't, the article that I read did not line up.
But I mean, yeah, but it, I mean, there's no proof either way, though. It just, it didn't make sense to you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, she has no source. Gotcha. This girl that tweeted it has, she has cited no source, no quote from Brie Larson talking about how depressed she was. No fact in that.
That you could find.
That I could find. Yeah. And so the only facts that I'm finding contradict the depression thing a little bit. So method acting is so serious. Something that Brie Larson is known for delving into and getting really serious about. But you can't always think that, oh wow, she got so depressed because she had to be in her room for a month. You know, like,
and there's still reports that Heath Ledger was depressed and racked because of his time as the Joker. He spent 2 weeks in a hotel room by himself finding the character, and he supposedly lost his mind or whatever. But even recently, there are still cast members that come out and it's like, no, he was very jolly on set and he was enjoying the character. All that's bunk.
Yeah. So, I mean, understand what you read. We tell people all the time, hey, check your sources, check your facts before you just go off rambling. So I do, while we're talking about this, just want to put it out there that since she is coming to the limelight, so many of her characters are coming to the limelight, check your sources before you retweet, favorite, whatever.
In general, with everything in your life, like, don't just believe something because you see it.
Yeah.
We should know that by now. Social media is just, I mean, a flood of information. You have to be vigilant. And that I posted something last night or the night before about this personally, and I don't like to get political on social media, but the responsibility is on the individual. Like, you have to watch yourself and what you retweet, what you repost, what you believe, what you like, what you share, because you don't know. I mean, it might, just because it affirms your personal bias doesn't make it true.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, fact is fact. Like, you don't get to take an interpretation from that at all times. Exactly.
Facts are not swayed. I mean, facts can be reestablished by new information.
Yeah.
But I mean, but based on what we know, a fact doesn't move.
Right.
It's
exactly.
It's not an opinion.
So,
some people, it's sad. Some people don't know the difference.
Right. Yeah. It's insane. So Brie Larson did a lot of method acting to get into character for Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did extensive workouts with.
I want to say I want to say that I saw Samuel L. Jackson say that she trained for a year. She did a lot more than she usually does for that.
So Jason Walsh is the trainer that she worked with, that had worked with Matt Damon, John Krasinski, Emily Blunt, Alison Brie. Like, he is like the go-to to like beef up and understand and know all of those things. And it says that she trained with him for her character for Carol Danvers. I didn't see anything that said that about a year, but I don't doubt it. I mean, someone who gets into that mindset and is going for it, like, that's a serious thing to commit to, especially when you're learning the martial arts. Like, that takes practice. That takes dedication. It takes time to just get your body to be prepared for those things.
Yeah. And I've seen interviews where the producers were talking about her pulling a Jeep uphill. Like, she went all, like, she went raw, like, all in on this thing. So, I mean, more power to her.
Whew. This says, so Jace, this is a quote from Jason Walsh. He said, one of the staples that we use here at Rise Movement, so his company is Rise Movement, is the hip thrust. And we do use it for a lot for warm-ups, and sometimes we'll use it, like in Bree's case, we use it as a staple exercise where you get up to 400 pounds on the hip thrust. But like anything, you need to start from the basics, learn the movement. Because the question was, Walsh and Alyssa Shoji, another trainer, demonstrated how some of... Okay, that's not a question. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah, I missed that part.
Okay.
It took 9 months to get her to a point where she was doing chain push-ups and things like that. So that's extensive training. And it does say she went through 3 month periods and three cycles. So it sounds like it was more around the 9 month range of actual training with this person. So with Jason Walsh. So it's very highly likely that she started on her own to get even a little bit of prep before she got cast.
Possibly.
I think that was all I had to say about Brie Larson's prep. I mean, actually, I have given Brie Larson a lot of flack in past episodes that we've done. And so I still don't enjoy her as an actress. And that's my opinion. That's my prerogative. But I love to hear that, you know, she's dedicated to the roles that she's in.
As a person, it's different. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Do
and
your thing.
I haven't seen The Room, but.
Yeah, I haven't seen any.
I did like her in Scott Pilgrim.
I mean, she's just not my taste, you know? I'm not saying that doesn't make her a bad actress or whatever. It just says that I don't care for her.
Yep. And I gotta say this just because I've been talking about this recently. Like, you cast her as Captain Marvel, who has a prominent pet who's a cat, yet Brie Larson is allergic to cats. Like, I don't know. That just doesn't make sense to me. Every scene that she filmed with a cat, the cat was either a puppet or CG. So, yeah, there's that. Anyways, I hate to knock anything because
Also, I want to know how allergic she is to cats because I grew up around a step sibling who was allergic to cats. And it's
quote, unquote, like not really.
She would get sneezy sometimes. And so, like, I understand that cat allergies can be serious, but it's like, how allergic were you really to that cat?
Well, because surely enough to warrant something.
There was somebody said, did Brie Larson's cute cat co-star give her hives?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be serious or minimalistic. So, yeah.
All right. So, speaking of Marvel, the Disney Fox deal, according to Fox, finished today. It was supposed to finish tomorrow, but Fox has announced that it's done. Like, it officially wraps tomorrow, but according to Slash Film, it says nearly 2 years after Disney's multi-billion-dollar deal to acquire key entertainment assets from 21st Century Fox was announced, the Disney Fox acquisition has been completed to the tune of $71.3 billion. The acquisition will become effective at 12:02 a.m. Eastern Time, March 20th, 2019. By the way, this is March 19th, if you haven't guessed. We film on Tuesdays. So, by the time this comes out, I'm sure tomorrow there's going to be a flood of information coming out about Marvel and the X-Men and Fantastic Four and all kinds of crazy stuff.
12:02, the news drops. 12:03, 5 trailers drop.
Probably. Yeah, because, I mean, legally, they can't talk about introducing the X-Men or Fantastic Four or Deadpool or any of these characters into the MCU until 12:03 or 12:02 or whatever. I think they've been making back
room
deals.
We shall speculate.
Yeah. And I've said it before on here. I think the Fantastic Four are in it. And they've talked about it, how the Quantum Realm is going to be a big deal going forward in the MCU. And that just makes sense with the cosmic realm and all this, that the Fantastic Four would be in this. I mean, Marvel's first family, you've got them back home. So welcome home, X-Men. Welcome home, Fantastic Four. Welcome home, Deadpool. And everybody that comes with that, I think they said like close over 2,000 characters or something like that. I mean, including all the bad guys and all that kind of stuff. It's insane.
On top of what they all already have.
Right. Yeah. And of course, they have been shy on saying anything about Phase 4. And a lot of it probably has to do with waiting for this deal to clear as well as waiting on Endgame because they don't want to reveal anything about Endgame.
Right. But, and I mean, and it's been talked about that there are specific confusing shots to confuse us for Endgame. So, I mean,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, why even, would they even, ruin even everything
recently,
now?
Even recently, the Russo brothers admitted that all of the foot, that the way they see the trailer and the way they see the movie is completely different. That those footages are not the same and they're not meant to be the same.
And I love it. Yeah. I'm not mad at all.
He said, when I was a kid, I went to go see, it was one of the Star Wars films. It was Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back. And he said, I didn't know anything about what I was getting into. And it was my best film experience of my entire life. And I want to do that for other people.
Mm-hmm.
He said, trailers give away too much.
What movie did we go watch? And it had to have been Captain Marvel that we went to see. We were sitting behind some people and one of the trailers came on. And I heard the guy lean over and whisper. He said, I just watched the whole movie. And I say that all the time. Yeah, and I'm just like, yeah. I can't stand to watch the movie before I ever. And it's the first trailer. Yeah. Why would you do it on the first trailer?
Exactly, yeah.
You're just ruining everything.
Yeah. I agree with the Russos. But I mean, the tone, they want to set the tone of the film so that you know what to expect going in and get excited for it, but not ruin anything for the film or the story or anything like that, which is reportedly they've only released it, released out of a 3-hour film. They've only released 8 minutes to make trailers and all that kind of stuff for. And anything we see, according to Kevin Feige, head of Marvel, is only going to be within the first 15 to 20 minutes. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even that battle scene that we saw, mm-hmm. like that, they're going in hot.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that the post-credit scene for Endgame is going to be Fantastic Four. And of course, they could introduce, there's all kinds of theories about how they could introduce the X-Men through the Quantum Realm and all that kind of stuff, or the Infinity War gems, or Infinity Stones and all that kind of stuff. And that's what I was going to say. Speaking of, Kevin Feige has declared the first 20 films of, or I guess the first 21 films, the first 10 years, the Infinity Saga now. But Endgame closes that and opens up the new door. So it's twofold purpose, to launch us into phase 4 and close phase 3. So get excited, get crunk, enter our contest to get Infinity War.
Nobody says get crunk anymore. They don't.
I bet.
You said it. What?
What's his name?
I'm not gonna tell you.
I can't remember. Anyways, so that's it. That's our top five. A couple things worth a mention. You want to talk about this one? Just real quick.
If you are not registered to vote, you should go to Ariana Grande's concert to register to vote. No, it's just pretty cool that Ariana Grande is really hyping up voting amongst millennials and Gen Zs and all of that, and really just pushing for voices to be heard. And so you can actually legitimately register to vote during the concert tour that she's going on right now.
That's pretty cool. Getting people motivated and out there ready to vote. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of the MTV Rock the Vote of the 90s, which you saw the posters in Captain Marvel. But anyways, a Toy Story 4 trailer dropped this morning, Tuesday, of course. And of course, you know, our hearts are ready to be rent. Janet Jackson recently, I thought this was cool or funny. She's going to be at the Glastonbury Festival. And she's going to be there, but she's not necessarily the headliner. So she re-released the poster on her own social media and kind of she shuffled the names around. So hers was at the top. I just thought that was kind of funny. But anyways, and of course, there's a Stranger Things a tease with some rats running into an abandoned building. And they said that the new trailer is going to drop soon. So it might even drop before this airs. So
well, rumor has it that it's dropping April 4th.
Oh, okay.
So what's funny, if you don't follow Stranger Things on Instagram or Netflix on Instagram, you definitely should. They, every single post, so Hopper, Dustin, Will, all of them posted it. Okay, so they...
Their character names.
Obviously. So they all posted it on their Instagram social media page, and Stranger Things Instagram and Netflix Instagram on every single one of them commented back just the rat emojis.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Like every single comment that people were making, they were both commenting back, clapbacks and stuff. And one girl was like, those rats are so cute. I want to take them home. I want to be their mom. Or... yeah, something like that. And Stranger Things clapped back and was like, you're their mother now. It's like so.
Mother of rats.
Yeah, it was just super funny. So if you don't follow them, I recommend following them because it's just, it's pretty funny to watch their follow. Yeah. I do want to say one thing about it. All of them commented, had the same caption on their post, except for obviously David Harbour, who just is a wacky dude. So his was just crazy. But the character who plays Mike, he is notorious for giving out too much information.
Really?
And he posted his caption upside down. Was it Mike or was it... okay.
Mike Wazowski.
Now I'm not sure if it was Mike or Caleb McLaughlin or McClellan, whatever his last name is.
McLaughlin.
I don't know now. I can't remember if it was... one of them posted it upside down, like their caption upside down.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they just don't know what they're doing or if they or gave if us information that they shouldn't have. So,
well, I mean, that's cute because the upside down.
Right. But we don't know if this scene is from the upside down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So much going on.
Yep. So that's it for us. Once again, we'd like to say thank you for joining us by YouTube or podcast. And if you want to keep the conversation going, of course, you can support the show. You can, of course, comment below, or you can find all that info in the episode notes or on the website at www.broken.picturesno.com. And you can also visit the store there. And don't forget, there's a new feature with our podcast, our new podcast provider, Anchor, and you can leave us voice messages that we can play on the show. Go to www.anchor.fm/thefomoshow or download the Anchor app to leave us a message. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and hit that little bell icon.
Ding.
To get notifications when we post new videos. And if you're a podcast listener, please leave us 5 stars in your podcast app. We'd appreciate it. This is Dylan.
I'm Lydia.
And we'll see you next time. Peace.